Now, let's see here. Drew, you finished earlier than I thought you would. I really cut my sermon short, but it looks like I've got plenty of time. Let me share with you, as you turn with me, our first passage of scripture this morning is going to be in Philippians chapter 1. But let me just share a recent memory that I have that makes me feel good, and maybe it'll help you to feel good. Yesterday, I was able to help officiate a funeral service that took place here at our church. There was a young man from here in our county that worked with the school system who died suddenly, very tragically, in an automobile accident a couple of weeks ago. And so our sanctuary at 3 o'clock yesterday was pretty full. There was a stage full of participants in what turned out to be a really good and a very strong memorial service for this young man. But as I sat on the stage and looked out at the church, really for the first time, you understand, I'm the new pastor here. It takes you a little while to wear that off, okay? But for the first time, it kind of felt like this was my church. And I don't mean that I own it or anything like that. I just felt like I wasn't a visitor or a guest trying to fit in. It's starting to feel like home, and that's a good feeling. So thank you for making us feel welcome and being hospitable. Sure, thank you. Lauren will be here to help me with our Next Steps class, and then today she's getting her hands dirty and helping out in the nursery for the very first time, something that she loves to do. What I'd like to do with our preaching time this morning is really to wrap up very nicely and put a bow on top our series about courage. For the last month, we've looked at a series, The Call to Courage, the premise being that the call to be a Christian is a call to courage. If you're a child of God, Jesus is saying, follow me, and where he's calling you to follow him is a place that will require courage and faith in your life. The Bible says in Psalm 31, verse 24, to be strong and let your heart be courageous, all of you who put your hope in the Lord. Over the course of the last four Sundays, we've looked to God's word for inspiration to find the courage to start new things, the courage to stand strong when we face adversity, the courage to share our faith with others. And if you're here last week, we looked at the courage to suffer when we find that life is unfair. And I hope that this series of sermons has been inspiring for you. I really hope that it's helped you to move forward in your life with God. We serve a God who is so big and so powerful and so multifaceted that he knows each and every single one of us. All of the things that have gone into our life up to this point, all the things that we're currently enduring, all the things that he has planned in front of us, he knows all of it. And so my great hope is that through this series, God has touched your heart and sparked something of courage in your life just to help you to move forward to whatever comes next in your life with God. God's will for our lives has what I like to call a cutting edge. And if we're serving him, we are on the cutting edge of his will for our lives. And that's a spot that will always require courage. Now, all that having been said, as a review of what we looked at, let me ask this question. What about if you're not feeling really courageous today? So you've heard these sermons, maybe there were moments where you felt inspired, but then when you leave church and you go home and you face the reality of what might be a very difficult situation, you say, Brother Deke, I don't have the courage, right? I hear the sermons and I feel a sort of inspiration, but when the rubber meets the road, I don't feel courageous. What if courage is not the word to describe your spiritual life today? Well, I have good news for you. Jesus has been courageous on your behalf. And so when you're not courageous, you can always look to him, place your trust in him, and say, Jesus, thank you for being courageous on my behalf. Where we are faltering, where we're struggling, we must consider Jesus the courageous one. If you're here and you think, well, how, if Jesus was God, and he was, and is, then, you know, if you're God and you have all this power, what is there to be afraid of? And so for Jesus, would his courage, wouldn't it be kind of different from our courage? Well, let me remind you, when Jesus took on human flesh, Jesus, the divine Son of God, the second person of our Holy Trinity, took his invincible self and he made himself vulnerable, which is another way of saying he made himself woundable. He put himself in a position of needing courage to do the will of our Heavenly Father. Jesus is our courageous one. Jesus never gave up. Jesus never backed down. Jesus has been courageous for you. And so my plea to you this morning would be to entrust yourself to him, especially if you're not feeling particularly courageous. Jesus is. Just this past week, I came across this quote. It was the anniversary of the date that Charles Spurgeon preached his last sermon. And in his last sermon, he said these words, "Jesus is the most magnanimous of captains. There never was his like, even among the choicest of princes. He is always to be found in the thickest part of the battle. When the wind blows cold, Jesus always takes the bleak side of the hill. The heaviest end of the cross lies ever on his shoulders. If Jesus bids us carry a burden, you can trust he carries it also. If there is anything that is gracious, generous, kind, and tender, yes, lavish and superabundant in love, you can always find it in him." Reflecting on his own ministry, this great prince of preachers, Spurgeon, he said, "These 40 years of ministry and more have I served him, and I have had nothing but love from him." He went on and he'd share later in that same sermon that if he had 40 more years to give, he'd give them to Jesus just the same way. Jesus, our great courageous captain. Let me share with you this morning very briefly four ways in which Jesus is really the courageous one. Right, that's how I want to pull this series to a close. I don't want to finish this series of sermons and us just sort of believe in ourselves. Hey, we can be courageous. We can do hard things. Right, that's true as we're inspired by Christ. But more importantly than any of that, we need to look to Jesus and say, "Jesus, you are the courageous one. Because, Jesus, you had courage, I can have courage." In that sense, all of our courage, all of our boldness, anything valiant that we might be called and then submit to do, it's a derivative courage. It comes from Jesus Christ. So let me share these four points with you this morning. Number one, as you think about the courageous things Jesus is calling you to, always remember this: it all starts with Jesus. There's nothing that you'd ever be called upon to do in your life as a child of God that didn't first start with him. Philippians chapter 1, some of you have turned there in your Bibles. Just look at verse number 6. It may seem familiar even as we read it. God's word says this: "I am sure of this, he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Now, what I want to emphasize here is this: Jesus is the one who started the good work in you. All the things that God might call us to begin or to start anew, they begin in the courageous heart of Jesus. Whatever it is in your life that you find Jesus is drawing you out, drawing you near, calling unto you that you would be bold and courageous, it all starts there with Jesus. Now, we ought to take great comfort from that and great inspiration from that. In the first week of our series, when we started, when we talked about the courage that's required to start new things, we looked at the story of Ezra. Ezra, that Old Testament man of God. God called him to rebuild the temple, but Ezra is not the hero even of Ezra's own story. Jesus is the hero. Right, Ezra was called to go from Babylonian captivity and to come back to that ancient city, Jerusalem, which had been ransacked, besieged upon, laid waste to, and there he was to rebuild the temple, which God led him to do that. Sure, but the point is that Ezra's not the hero. Jesus is. Long before Ezra ever came upon the scene, long before he was ever memorialized in the stories we read about in our scriptures, Jesus is the one that made promises to Israel. Jesus is the one that made a covenant to them that he would make them a people, that he would give them a promised land. Even after they were exiled for unbelief and rebellion, Jesus is the one that called them back. Jesus did all of that. It starts with him. We must draw our courage from him. The courage to start new things comes from Jesus. He's the one who took the first step and started a good work in your life. Consider this. Jesus made you, right? That's where the start came from. He made you. It was his boldness. Jesus saved you. That was his initiative. Jesus is calling you now. These are his works. Remember, Philippians 1:6 says that Jesus is the one who started a good work in you, and he will carry it to completion. One commentator I read this week said these words, reflecting on our verse, Philippians 1:6. He said, the foundation for spiritual growth is recognizing that it's God who began a good work in you and who will bring it to completion. Genuine spiritual progress is rooted in what God has done, in what God is doing, and in what God will do. It all starts with Jesus. Let me share with you a second encouragement today. Jesus never gives up, right? It starts with Jesus, and we learn that Jesus never gives up. The courage to stand was the second theme in our series. We looked at the character of Nehemiah, like Ezra, who'd been called back to Jerusalem, not to rebuild the temple as Ezra was called, but to rebuild the walls around the city. And when he was doing that, there in the middle chapters of the book of Nehemiah, we read just a spectacular account of God's people standing strong through the greatest and just all sorts of different opposition. But they found their courage only when they considered that it was God in Christ standing courageously on their behalf. Let me read to you a scripture from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2, we read these words. I'm going to read, start about halfway through verse number 1. God's word challenges us saying, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. This isn't a sprint. This is a long race. Right? It's not just hold your breath and hunker down for a few moments. It's an endurance race. You will go through seasons where you feel like quitting. You will go through seasons where there is pain and you think, I can't do this, but you must keep going. In that race, God's word says, keep our eyes on Jesus. And then notice how Jesus is here described, the pioneer, that means the starter, and the perfecter, that means the finisher, of our faith. What Jesus starts in the faith of our hearts, Jesus finishes. We read of Christ that it was for the joy before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down there at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Because Jesus, in his moment of adversity, was able to stand strong and not quit, you and I can stand strong and not quit. Some of you here this morning are going through something right now. Right now. And this may not even be a new thing. It may be something you've been going through a long time. And you know, after you face adversity, it begins to build. And there's sort of this cumulative effect, maybe even sort of a cumulative trauma of going through difficult times. And you may be in a position now where you're not just tempted to quit. You're tempted to quit caring altogether. Look to Jesus. He never gave up. Stand strong. Jesus is our captain. You are never alone. You can always look ahead and see Jesus holding high the banner of salvation, the banner of faithfulness. Look to Jesus. Because he had the courage to stand, you and I can have the courage to stand. Let me share with you a third encouragement today as we think about Jesus, the great and courageous one. Shifting gears a little bit, let me just highlight this. Maybe you've never thought of it this way. Jesus is our missionary. In the third week of our series, we looked at the courage needed to share our faith. Jesus doesn't call us to do things that he himself has not already courageously fulfilled. As Jesus calls us to share our faith, we need to look to Jesus because Jesus gave it all to share with us. In John chapter 20, verse 21, we read these words. They could not be more clear. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Jesus was sent. as a missionary to us. Aren't you glad he came? He was sent to us. It required risk on his part. It required vulnerability on his part. It required what Philippians 2 says is an emptying of himself, right? There's a certain effect of his godness which had to be temporarily laid aside so that Jesus could make himself a fragile human being. He was not an invincible God walking here among this earth. Not he was only that. What he also was he was a human being who could be hurt, who could take genuine risks where loss could be experienced. And I want to tell you, the courage you need to share your faith is found nowhere else than in the courage that Jesus had when he came to us as our own missionary. Jesus came to us so that we could go to others. When I was a kid, we used to play a game called tag. I'm sure it's still around. You know how tag works? You just run up to somebody, you tag them, and you say, "You're it." Let me tell you, Jesus came to the earth, he tagged you, and he said, "You're it. Now it's your turn to go catch somebody and to go tag them." Jesus had the courage to make himself vulnerable so that we might live from a place of courage, knowing that we're saved, knowing that the center of God's will is the greatest place we could ever be. There's no life better than the life which says, "Because I believe in God, I am willing to take risks for him." There's no life better than that. There's nothing more fulfilling than putting yourself out there and being held only in the arms of a gracious God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read this passage, "For our sake, he made him," God the Father made God the Son, "to be sin, even though he knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus had the courage to come here and to take from us our own sin so that we could be empowered to have faith in him and to be saved. That's courage. Jesus took the risk so that others could have the reward. That's courage. And we're called to do the same thing each and every day. Let me share with you a final point this morning about courage. As we remember last week's message on needing courage to suffer well. Listen, we're all going to suffer in life because life's not fair. But if we're to suffer well, we need to suffer as a Christian, entrusting ourselves to the care of God, not seeking vengeance, but knowing that one day Jesus will make all things right. If we're to suffer well, we need to remember something I think that's very, very important. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Sometimes in your suffering, you may be tempted to think, "Well, I'm having to pay for certain sins that I've done, and if I just suffer long enough, then the sins will be paid for, and then I can go on about my business like a normal Christian." Let me tell you something. That's bad theology for the child of God, because Jesus paid it all. When we suffer, it's because of the brokenness of this world caused by sin. Our suffering is not a penance which is somehow intended to make up for whatever gap was caused because we did something wrong. I remember years ago I saw this movie with Robert De Niro called The Mission. Awesome movie, The Mission. And there, Robert De Niro was a human trafficker of sorts when the film begins, a slave trader. He was in charge of these crews that would go down into South America and who would kidnap these indigenous peoples and then make them into servants against their own wills. And at a certain point in the movie, he kills a man who had an affair with his wife, and he just completely loses himself in the process. And so submitting to a local Catholic priest, he goes on this journey. And the priest assigns him a work of penance of sorts, which is to say, if you'll do these things, then you can be right with God. And it's a grueling scene. It's a very inspiring scene. And it culminates with Robert De Niro's character having to tote this huge bag full of goods, very heavy, toting it over his shoulder. And they're climbing up this big mountain, waterfall type of a scene. And they get to the very, very top. And every person there, the missionaries, the tour guides, the natives who are helping them along the way, they're watching Robert De Niro's character as he struggles to get this heavy burden up the final ledge of this huge cliff. And he gets to the top, he throws his weight over, and there's still a rope hanging off the edge with this huge burden that he cannot lift any longer. And there as it hangs, one of the natives comes up to him with a knife. And you think for a moment he's going to kill him. But instead, he cuts the rope, and that giant burden falls down the cliff, and he's free. That's a beautiful scene. It makes for wonderful cinema. But let me tell you something. We don't have to pay for our burdens. We don't have to carry around suffering as if somehow it pays a debt for the sins that we've committed. That's not great Christian doctrine. And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus paid it all. The moment that we came to Calvary and laid our lives down before Christ who bled and died on our behalf, who rose again that we might have new life, that very moment the burden was lifted. We don't tote it with us. Even in our suffering, we are not paying for our sins. Let me share this passage of scripture with you. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Paul says this, "There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus." He doesn't say there's a little bit left and you have to pay for it with your suffering. He says there's no condemnation. The courage we need to suffer can only be endured because we know Jesus suffered on our behalf. Jesus paid for your sins. Let him pay. Let him pay. Look to him in faith. Let him pay. I remember when Lauren and I first moved to Kentucky several years ago, we were following God's call, pursuing educational goals, and it was our first week in Kentucky. We lived on the south side of Louisville at the time in a home that we rented, and Lauren's family, I remember, they came to visit us for the first time while we were there, and we went to this restaurant called Lulu's. I'm not sure if Lulu's is still open, but I remember it was very crowded. We were right there in the middle, and when the meal ended, the server came to our table with that little book they put your check in, right? And I grabbed the book, and my mother-in-law grabbed the book at the same time. And it was quite embarrassing, but we both have strong wills. And so there in front of the whole restaurant, not just verbally, but physically, we had a tug of war over who was going to pay. Eventually, I let her pay. Yeah. Well, for a few reasons. I mean, she is my mother-in-law. You need that relationship to be as good as it can be, right? But also, the tab was like $100, so woo. Let me tell you what you do. When you beat yourself up over sin in your life, when something bad happens to you and you say, well, this is because I'm a sinner. I deserve this. I knew about it. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're standing in a restaurant fighting over the check with Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants to say to you today, I've already paid. Accept that I have paid your debt. Jesus paid it all. And that is good news. The Apostle Paul explained it this way in Galatians 2, verse 21. He says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Now, that word nullify, right? It's as if Jesus wrote a check to pay for your sins, but because you think you have to work for it, you write void across that check. And you say, no, Jesus, I appreciate what you did, but you're going to have to let me help you on this. No, we don't get to help. We can't help. Jesus paid it all. And you and I can draw courage, even in difficult times, by remembering he paid it all and by humbling ourselves enough to let him pay. Let him pay. If you're here this morning and if you have a spiritual track record that you're proud of and you look over your life and you say, you know, I've been a pretty good person. I mean, I've been going to church a long time. And they let me lead in the church, and people know I'm one of the best members here. Well, let me tell you, The pride that you have in your life is fighting Jesus for who's going to pay. Because your good works don't get to pay. Now, on the other end of that spectrum, if you're here today and you've not been living for Jesus the way you know he wants you to live, and you just beat yourself up, and you're discouraged, and you think, I can't turn to Jesus today. I've got to clean up my act a little bit first. I've got to behave well enough or at least a long enough period of time, then I can come back to Jesus. Let me tell you, you're standing in the restaurant fighting Jesus over who gets to pay. Jesus paid it all. And the only appropriate response is humbly, by faith, let him pay. Let him pay. We're not taking advantage of the grace of God. We are surrendering ourselves before the grace of God when we trust Jesus enough to let him pay. As we are called to be courageous, we must always remember Jesus is the hero. Jesus is the hero. We are courageous as children of God, not because we are heroes. We are courageous because we trust in Jesus and we believe in the life that he has called us to. Every true act of Christian courage is not performed because we are so valiant, but because Jesus is so worthy. He is the object of our faith. He is the source of our courage. Our courage to follow his will demonstrates our faith in his person. Let me ask everybody here this morning to bow your heads. While your heads are bowed, I just want to lead you in a moment of reflection with this great question. Have you placed your faith in Jesus today? If you're here this morning and you'd say, not with pride in yourself, but humbly, you'd say, I know I'm saved. I know Jesus has saved me. I have placed my faith in him. I want to say, God bless you, dear friend. God bless you in your faith. What do you have need of courage for today? Trust him. And be courageous. Do not be discouraged. Do not have pride in your own self. Trust him today. As we prepare to sing a song in just a moment, again, if you're here this morning and you're a child of God, as we sing this song, would you just let your heart have a conversation with Jesus? Say, Jesus, I trust you. I will have courage to do what you have called me to do. Let that be your response today. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not sure whether you're a Christian, maybe that's something over which you worry and you question. Perhaps you're here this morning and you'd say with some confidence, I'm pretty sure I'm not a Christian. Jesus is calling you today to courageously place your faith in him. To have the courage to believe, the boldness to trust in him. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are being called today to be persons of faith. If you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith in Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus loves you. He knows you. He knows everything about you. And he loves you still. When he died on that cross so many years ago, you were on his mind. Would you place your faith in him today? Just say, Jesus, I believe in you. Would you save me? And I want to tell you, he's never turned anyone away. He won't start this morning. If you've placed your faith in Jesus today, when our service is over, please come see me. I'll be right here down front, and I would love to talk with you about what God is doing in your life. Father in heaven, we ask now that you'd watch over us as we respond in this time of singing. Have your way, Lord, as you call us to be people of courage and faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.